May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a day that we call Good Shepherd Sunday. And our focus, as you can tell by the readings, the collect, and our music, is focused on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So let me ask you a question. How many of you here today claim to be a sheep of the flock of the Good Shepherd? Five. Well, I hope the ones in the kitchen put their hands up also too, okay, because they get the sermon in the kitchen, okay, so we preach to them today. Well, all of you, even those who did not put up your hand, are all sheep of the flock of the Good Shepherd. And in fact, all Christians in every denomination make the same claim, to be sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd. We all make that claim as Christians because we all say that we recognize Jesus, that we hear his voice, that we follow him, we believe in him, and for the most part, we tend to do what he asks us to do. But there are two questions that have bothered Christians down through the ages about this Good Shepherd and the flock thing. The first question is, why is it that there are some who are not in this fold? Not just this fold, but the whole fold. Because if Jesus died for the whole world, and if he died for the people of the whole world to tell them that they are now children of God, then why is it that all the children of God do not follow Jesus? If people do not follow Jesus, it isn't because Jesus is not the shepherd. It's because people have chosen not to be sheep. The Good Shepherd never changes. Jesus is always the Good Shepherd. It's by choice that people are not sheep. Why is it then? Why is it then that very often the gospel that we sheep adopt and the gospel that we focus on is not one of proclaiming Christ as we know him, but instead how those outside the fold are not really sheep? Because it seems that we would rather talk about how others are not sheep of the fold, rather than live a life that proclaims that we follow not just a good shepherd, but a great shepherd. We who call ourselves sheep are the only living gospels that our shepherd has. Unfortunately, the love of God and the care of the shepherd is not experienced by some miraculous osmosis that God gives to people. The love of God and the care of the shepherd is usually experienced when somebody offers a kind word to somebody else. When somebody offers a little encouragement to somebody else. When somebody acts or speaks in a way that speaks of kindness. In doing that, those who are doing it have shown that we've heard his voice. We are known by him. And we follow Christ. And it just may be that instead of trying to browbeat people into the kingdom by threats or by guilt or even by fear, we simply just need to be proclaiming the Christ who we believe in. The good shepherd who loves and cares for his children. And I say the Christ that we believe in. Because we know that different sheep have different beliefs about the shepherd and about God. That leads me to the second question in all of this. What about those sheep who are sheep, yet believe something different to us about Christ? You know, it is very clear that in the days of Jesus, it was the shepherd, who found it necessary to divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep did not do it. The shepherd did. What that tells us is that we need to be extremely careful in case we are the ones becoming divisive in our thinking. Now, of course, our decision about who Jesus is, our decision about what Jesus is, and how Jesus would have responded in circumstances we each face will be much different to somebody else. That's why we have denominations. Our vision is different. Our understanding is different. And sometimes in the differences, and because of the differences, we just want to be like the Jews this morning, who want a very clear-cut answer from Jesus and say, tell us plainly, Jesus, because you know something? It would make it so much easier for all of us. But Jesus doesn't. In all of those times that Jesus was asked to tell plainly, or to give a sign, or if he was the Messiah, he always referred to what he had done, to look at his works. The sick were healed. Sins were forgiven. The hungry were fed. Women and children raised to a new level of status in society. There were new challenges to your faith. And there were more requests to trust. And all of these and others eventually became hallmarks of people who have a relationship with the shepherd. The shepherd, the Christ. Let's be very clear about one thing. There is no warrant in this text this morning for the sheep to be dividing the flock. That is always, has always, and always will be the job of the shepherd. The will and the purpose of the sheep is to live a life that reflects a unity with the shepherd. As we understand him. It's real evident that there are many understandings of Jesus. But what is so important is that we are true to our understanding and we are not critical of others. Remember, there's no warrant in this text of Scripture for us to be doing the dividing of who we think are the sheep or who we may think as goats. It's the job of the shepherd. And you know something else? Despite what we may think, it's quite evident from the vision of St. John that at the throne of the shepherd, there was a great multitude from every nation, not just some, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, not just some. And my belief is that all of us are going to be just a little bit surprised by who we see in heaven. The only one that's not the surprise is the shepherd, who will continue to guide us to the springs of living water and wipe away every tear from our eye. Amen.